A story now about the mysterious rules of a closed community and a court case that provided a window into a world rarely open, even to traditional law enforcement. Earlier this week, a Brooklyn jury delivered what was a shocking verdict to a packed courtroom. Nehemia Weberman, an unlicensed therapist from the Satmar Hasidic Jewish community, was convicted on 59 counts of sexual abuse. Weberman worked with young girls whose behavior was considered immodest or outside the Hasidic norm. One of the young women brought to him accused him of sexual abuse, claiming he abused her for 3 years. Weberman was convicted on all 59 charges of sexual abuse. We spoke with Sharon Otterman, reporter for our partner, The New York Times, who's been covering the story, particularly this idea of therapists for immodest behavior. She explained how this worked within the community.
Well, in this case, and in many cases, a child identified at school as acting out by not following the strict dress codes of the Satmar Hasidic people, or maybe in her case, questioning God, questioning some of the core tenets of her belief, and is sent to the principal, who then says, "You can't be thinking this way. You're a heretic, or you're not fitting in here, and you need to see somebody."
And there's no a suspicion here of a particular psychological profile here. There's no psychological counseling at work here. This is a therapist designed to restore norms of the Satmar community to these young women.
That's right. And that's why a lot of these people, the therapists, don't have any traditional psychology training. They're people who have studied the Torah and other religious books, the Talmud, who are sort of freelance therapists who feel that they know the right thing to say to somebody to get them back on the Satmar path.
And they're very much trusted, though, by the religious authorities and by the families who rely on them.
That's right. In some cases, they have specific referrals, so in this case, to this particular therapist, Mr. Weberman. And there are a number of people who are trusted. One of the reasons a therapist would be trusted in that world is the therapist does not maintain any sort of confidentiality with the patient. So the therapist will report back to the school and the parents so they feel comfortable that they know what the situation is.
So what was the shocking part here? I mean, obviously, sexual abuse is shocking in any context, in any community. How far beyond the norms did this individual go? And is he being defended by members of the community?
What was revealed was that instead of doing a therapy, i.e. talking to this girl, from the beginning, he began molesting her. He touched her. He forced her to perform oral sex many times. And the allegation was at one point he even came over to her house after she had sort of rejected him and went even further than oral sex with her.
And within the community, this has destroyed this man's reputation, or is there some sense that outside intervention is unwelcome here?
Yeah, no, his it's difficult to know exactly what his reputation is. At least outwardly, the power structure of the community continues to defend him.
Certain individuals in the community, or who could be said to be having connections in the community, have offered themselves as a place to go if young women or family members see other things like this happening, essentially offering to be a place for whistleblowers to deliver information if more of this sort of thing is going on in this closed community. Also sets you up as a target, and there have been violence and attacks against individuals who are claiming to be advocates for victims within the Satmars.
That's right. Just this week, we had this unusual attack of a guy throwing bleach on the face of a man who's been probably the first advocate and the longest standing advocate in the Satmar community, Rabbi Nuchum Rosenberg. So Nuchum is okay. He is expected to regain sight in his eye, although he experienced burns in his eye. And if you take a controversial stance like he does, in which he says that people at the top of the power structure are condoning this, then you're going to expect that a community that is extremely protective of its rabbis and leaders is going to sometimes lash out.
Sharon Otterman is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Deborah Feldman is the author of the memoir Unorthodox, The Scandalous Rejection of My Hasidic Roots. Does an insulation that grows out of a collective need to protect its members and hold on to traditions, does that impulse to be closed off end up leaving some members vulnerable? Deborah, welcome to the show.
Thank Thank you so much for having me.
Does everything that you've heard in this New York case, and under any circumstances, sexual abuse is shocking, but does the insularity of the community sound familiar to you?
Clearly, since I grew up in the Satmar community, this case has been incredibly close to my heart. I've been following it from the very beginning, and I cannot begin to describe to you my surprise and excitement when I heard that the case was even going to trial. I had never recalled a case in which someone came forward about abuse in the community, and those claims were listened to, those claims made it to court. Every victim I ever heard about was effectively silenced. So when we made it to trial on this case, I mean, I was through the roof. I was like, this is change. This is progress. The community can no longer boast of being all powerful. And then the conviction handed down, which I did not expect for 1 minute, because it was enough for me, just knowing that we had made that step and that we were going to trial. When that conviction came down, it was like my life changed. I felt like the world had changed. It felt like there was hope. I can't begin to describe my feelings to you.
When you say we, Deborah, do you mean we as women in the Satmar community, or do you have a specific relationship to this investigation?
I mean, I say we in many ways because, one, I believe that I stand in solidarity with every single person who is ever victimized or betrayed by the Hasidic community, especially women, but also young men who are so often abused as well. And I have so many good friends who grew up in that community who were so deeply betrayed by it and in such egregious ways. And I've watched them live with their pain for so long, and this trial has been a triumph for every single one of us. It has really brought peace and justice to all of us, not just this one victim. We all feel like it's okay now. Like,
but Deborah, is
real progress being made?
Is the progress the result of this just horrible case and the scale of the abuse here,
or do you think
there's something socially? Do you think there's something socially going on inside the community?
Oh, there's two things happening. One is within the community, which is because the community has become incredibly restrictive as of the last decade. In response to the advent of internet and smartphones and modernity, the younger generation has grown, in response, more rebellious. They feel unfairly clamped down upon. And as you have a rebellious generation within the community and you have a rabbinical leadership trying ever more to crack down on them, you get dissent and you get people who aren't afraid to talk back. And then you have the people who've left the community. And those people are speaking out and they're trying to bring attention to these issues. And the media is finally covering it. When I was a child, the media did not cover these issues. The fact that the media is covering these issues, the fact that we're talking about it, is amazing. It's the strongest weapon we, as rejects, as people who've left, have.
Well,
because
there's
nothing the community is more afraid of.
Well, it's interesting. You're describing somewhat metaphorically a Hasidic spring movement going on using a social media technology to break down the insularity that, at least in this case, one of the consequences was this terrible abuse situation in the city of New York. Deborah Feldman, thanks so much.
Thank you.
She's the author of the memoir Unorthodox, The Scandalous Rejection of My Hasidic Roots. Well, lots to talk about on the program. We'd love to hear your story. 877-8-MY-TAKE. Post a comment at thetakeaway.org. Someone within the Hasidic community who would care to comment. We'd love to hear from you. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
A lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.